Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to Shoot the Shot, an NBA and variety show. It is December 16th, 2021. Jonathan Osborne here. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. I got a like nice little fever blister for those of y'all that can see on YouTube. So we're great. We had tornado warnings and watches all throughout Nebraska today. One touchdown about 20 miles from where I'm at in Omaha. So, today was an interesting day. It was like summer conditions, but in December, it was very odd.
Yeah, obviously, you know, everyone is aware of like the tragic tornado in Kentucky. Like it spanned like multiple states. And one of the meteorologists in my area was talking about it and how like the thing with like hurricanes is people have enough time to prepare and like get out of the way.
Yeah.
With tornadoes, especially if you live like in the Midwest and you're just accustomed right. to tornadoes your whole life, it's like you get like 1,000 tornado warnings before one actually like impacts you personally. Yeah. So after a while, it's just like you get all these tornado warnings and you're like, you're not so worried about it. So, but right. yeah, it's just absolutely tragic. I didn't mean to depress everyone this early in the podcast, but look, something happened like 20 minutes before we jumped on here. So like the Magic game ended tonight and I got my haircut yesterday. So I get my haircut roughly like every 2 to 3 weeks. And every single time I come home, it's like a tradition. My wife looks at me and says, "That's the best haircut you've ever had." Every time I come home. Tonight, she says something to me that she's never said before. I didn't know how to take it. She goes, "You know, a lot of people, like everyone looks better when they get a haircut. But like you specifically, you look so much younger." And I didn't know how to take that. So it's like I look that much worse than everyone else when I don't have a haircut, which now I'm like, okay, I guess I just have to go and get a haircut every single week. Like,
you're calling your barber on speed dial more than you already have him. And you're going to get like biweekly haircuts now.
Well, the thing, if I wanted to do that, I could. I've had the same barber now I'm 28 years old. So 13 years now, I've had the same barber as cut my hair. I followed him to multiple barbershops, you know, that he's been to. But it really felt like a backhanded compliment from my wife. It really did. She's like, you look, you know, like a hot dad right now.
Wow.
She's like, when your hair is like growing out, you look like you're a middle-aged man.
No.
And I'm like, I'm not even 30 yet.
Did she say that?
She did say that. She said, your hair is growing, it's like scruffy on the side. She's like, you look like a middle-aged man.
I can't believe our show manager would treat you that way. I'll have to have a talk with her. I'm sorry.
So, anyways, yeah, I just I felt the need to come on here and vent.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Craig doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And okay, so folks, something at least I think is pretty incredible, something very eventful, some would say historic, happened last night. So we're recording this Wednesday night, but Tuesday night in Madison Square Garden, one Stephen Curry broke the all-time three-pointers made record, recently set by Ray Allen with 2,973. Steph broke the record, his second three of the game in the first quarter, to hit 2,974. He ended the night 2,977. So we might have to buckle in, folks. Luke and I, we disagree on a lot of things, but usually we're able to do so pretty civilly. but in the weeks leading up to Steph breaking the record, I've mentioned it a few times in the group chat that we have here, you know, at the Six Man Show, me, Luke, and Kevin. And just talking about, like, guys, you know, Steph is he's inching closer to, you know, breaking the record. And, you know, the last, like, you know, if he gets within 10, like, it's going to be like appointment TV for me. Like, I just have to watch the games in case Steph has one of these crazy nights. It's not outside of the realm of possibilities for Steph to make 10 threes in one night. And Luke's, I almost want to say attitude about this, the last few weeks has been, I could not care less about Steph Curry breaking the record. And then it just kind of started the conversation of, so like you don't care about, you know, professional athletes making history. So that's where we are. We've been planning to have this conversation for a few weeks, but Steph actually breaking the record, it just seems like the perfect time to have this conversation. So Luke, the floor is yours. I would love to hear why.
Yeah, so for me, the biggest reason with it is that, and first I'll say, for him and for his organization, it is a huge moment for him. After the game, he said, I feel like I now can call my, like, you know, I can call myself the best three-point shooter of all time because I broke this record. To me, I could say, I called him, and we all did, called him the best three-point shooter, what, four or five seasons ago?
I'm gonna say six or seven. I'm pretty sure 2014, 2015. I was getting into arguments with my pastor, and he was trying to say it's Ray Allen. I'm like, no, it is Steph Curry. It's gonna be Steph Curry. So today I feel very vindicated, but your point is valid. Continue.
Unequivocally, the best shooter of all time.
The greatest shooter of all time.
Yes. So my whole stance on this entire thing was him breaking the record doesn't change a single opinion that I've got. He has been on this trajectory for years. We knew it was happening as long as he stays healthy. This is a guy who shoots, 13 threes a game this year, 12 the year before, 9, 8, 10, 10, 11. He shoots more than Ray Allen ever did. Ray Allen shot, 4, 4, 5, 4, 5, 6, 8. He didn't come close to 13 a game. This is something that was inevitable. It was going to happen so long as Curry's ankles held together. So for me, I think I said, like I said, it's a cool moment for him and his team, the organization as a whole. But as someone who watches basketball, as you do, you know, we're entitled to our own opinion. My opinion is I didn't care. I think it is incredible for Steph and the team and the organization. But I just don't care because it doesn't change an opinion. Game records are so much more entertaining and so much more, just better TV. Wilt Chamberlain, obviously not really footage. People argue there's, you know, radio commentary about his, you know, record breaking in a game, points, whatever. That kind of stuff. Clay scoring 37 and a quarter. Incredible. It is just a different feeling than when someone on one night that I've seen coming for years does something. So I just didn't, I mean, for lack of a better term, I didn't care.
So, all right, rebuttal to your game argument. So those are it's understandable because those are so much more spontaneous.
They come out of nowhere.
Yeah, you have no idea that these are coming.
Yes.
So I think the argument in terms of this doesn't change anything about Steph is almost the equivalent to people, you know, now they joke when they tweet it, but saying, and people said Steph Curry wasn't a good shooter. Nobody is saying that. Nobody is saying that now, except Steph maybe. No one is saying that this now makes him the greatest shooter of all time. People have been saying it, you know, 5, 6, 7 years,
yeah,
whatever. Everyone's been saying it forever. But to me, like, there are certain times in sports where things happen and you'll just say, I will always remember where I was when that happened. And it's historic moments, right? Like it's Tiger, you know, winning the Masters a few years ago, like watching that Sunday. I was glued to the TV and Carmen couldn't understand why. I was in church getting notifications to my phone that Tiger was closing in on the lead that final Sunday at the Masters. Went home, yeah, and that was what I did for the entire afternoon. And it was just incredible. You see him celebrate, you know, with his mom and, you know, with his kids that were there. LeBron, you know, game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals. Blocked by James. I will always remember I was sitting in the back room at our old house. We had some like bar stool chairs in the back, and me, one of my best friends, Cedric, and my brother-in-law, Anthony, were sitting in the back watching that game. I remember Draymond going crazy in the first half, you know, hitting threes. But this is just one of those things where you know that it's coming, but it's one of those things that you just never know when you're going to see something like this again. We might never, ever see another Steph Curry as long as we live. They're already talking about guys, like, for instance, I'm looking on StatMuse here in terms of players that have played at least 400 games, the most three-point field goals attempted per game. Steph is at the top with 8.7, then is followed by Dame with 8.1, Harden 7.7, Buddy Hield 7.5, Klay Thompson 7.0. Paul George. Like, so the point is, these are all guys that are still currently playing. Ray Allen finished his career 5.7 attempts, you know, per game from three. So who knows? If it was a different era, maybe Ray Allen, you know, that record is a little bit further than it was. Steph still eventually eclipses it anyways, but they're talking about guys now in the league, like, you know, Luka Doncic, LaMelo Ball, Trae Young, Anthony Edwards, these guys that are taking these high volume of three-pointers that eventually it's going to take a while, but we're probably going to see multiple guys past Ray Allen, past Reggie Miller. You know, these guys are going to finish like in the, you know, top two or three based off the current trajectory. Who knows? They might even end up passing Steph Curry. So right now, like, the next big milestone in the NBA that I kind of have circled is going to be LeBron James eventually passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, if him becoming the all-time leading point scorer in NBA history, I think he's already, like, overall, if you include playoffs and mm-hmm. regular season, I think yeah. he may already have that record, which yeah. I don't understand why we don't count that. Like, team success makes your individual performance not mean as much. Like, Steph passed the overall regular season and postseason threes like weeks and weeks and weeks ago, right. past Ray Allen, like a long time ago. It's been a minute. But mm-hmm. Just in terms of like regular season, like, that's what I live for when it comes to sports. Like, these moments that are just once in a lifetime, like lightning in a bottle, things that we're not going to see again. And I agree with you. The games are a big deal. Like, Game 6, Clay, I will never, ever forget watching Game 6 in the yeah. Western Conference Finals in 2016 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Clay mm-hmm. single-handedly kept them in that game, kept their season alive. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. That game was just so incredible. So that is a valid point that the games are important. But to me, the moments in history, even when you see them coming miles in, when you see them coming years away, we knew 4 years ago this was going to happen with Steph. But, I mean, you could sense my wife, I love her to death, does not care about the NBA, cares about the Magic. She's a big Magic fan. But last night, she's kind of doing her nighttime routine. I told her, like, Steph's about to break the record, stopped everything that she was doing, sat here. And it was like you could feel the energy of Madison Square Garden. Every time they came down the floor on offense. The entire building stood up. Everyone's phone is coming out. So, yeah, I this is one of those things where, like, we can just agree to disagree. You're not going to change your stance, but, like, I don't know. It's like those are the magical moments in sports that you just, you know, in the moment that you might not ever see something like that happen again. And that's why I feel like we have to appreciate records being broken like that. Like the other night, watching the Bucks play the Bills. Now, I'm not as big of a football fan as I am a basketball fan, but I believe it was Brady the other night that broke the record for completions. And just like small stuff like that, it's just cool to be like, you know what? That was a moment in history. I got to see that. Like the Warriors, 2016, going 73-9. I made it a point when they came to town, when they came to Orlando. Now it's a whole season. It's a little bit different than, like a all-time, 3-point record or whatever. But I was like, you know what? I want to be at that game just to say I was at one of those 73 games.
Yeah.
The Miami Heat, second all-time, longest win streak. I was at the 27th game in Orlando that they won. I find it cool that, you know, to be part of like little nuggets of NBA history like that. So I've gone enough. I will let you, form your rebuttal if you have one.
Nah, I mean, you said it, right? Like, we'll agree to disagree. I think it was a cool moment, but just not one that, like, I really care about because I saw it coming. You talked about, Tiger and seeing him win the Masters and that was a comeback. I didn't see this coming from anywhere. We obviously knew he was participating in the Masters. That was an iconic moment because I just didn't see it coming. That was something I cared about, right? That was something that a lot of people cared about. But with Steph, it was a little different for me in terms of the moments, right? And you said like the game moments are just, out of nowhere, the block by James, Clay in game six, Clay has become that whole thing. There are just certain things that I care about and certain things I don't. I mean, the Steph Curry thing, if it helped an argument, that'd be great. But for me, you look at Ray and you say, if Ray shot, X amount of threes more, if it was a different era, would it have? Maybe if we put Ray in Steph's time, maybe, right? Because then Ray growing up maybe would have shot some more threes or extended his range a little bit more. Ray Allen shot 5.7 attempts a game and shot 40%. Pretty incredible to shoot 40%, especially if it's on more than, three attempts a game. Steph, for his career right now, shoots almost 8.7, but he shoots 43% from three. This is just something that, like, I don't have to bring up that he broke the record for threes made this season because it doesn't. I mean, my per game and percentages, that's all I need to tell somebody this is why you're wrong if you think Steph Curry isn't the best of all time. An old head, I think. Even all of them have come around on it. So yeah, I think that we would just agree to disagree. I did want to, Jonathan, discuss some things that are just kind of ridiculous. Like there's a lot of times in NBA history you and I haven't gotten to experience or didn't get to live during that time, right? Sportingnews.com did an article saying, Wilt, you say 100 points, to which you would reply, this person would reply, whoever wrote the article here, I'll see if I can find him and give credit. Micah Adams from Sporting News. He said, you'd bring up Wilt's 100 points, and I'd say that's not even his most absurd record. This says Wilt Chamberlain once averaged 48.5 minutes per game in a league with 48-minute games. The most basketball fans know this record, but it is one of those that is just absurd. Another one, Walt Bellamy once played 88 regular season games in an 82-game season. So I don't know the context with Walt Bellamy playing that many games. Maybe you do, I'm not sure.
I haven't heard that one, no.
So I'll have to do some research on that, and you guys can too. Another one here, AC Green once played 1,192 consecutive games. Obviously, the league was not privy to load management at that time. And I was wondering how many seasons... Right. He played... That is equivalent to, in an 82-game season, if you're playing 82 a year, to playing 14.5 seasons in a row without missing a game. Rasheed Wallace once got teed up 41 times in a season in a league where players are now suspended after receiving 16. So those are just a few, Jonathan, that I think are just wild. And it was in an article tagged, you know, talking about Steph Curry and why, you know, this might be another one of those, it's the NBA's next unbreakable record. Or so it seems, right? And so those are just some things that are kind of ridiculous. I'm going to have to look into Walt Bellamy and the fact that he played 88 regular season games. Oh, probably because he got traded. I think that's got
to
be what it is.
He had to have, yeah.
He just got traded so many times that he played 88 games and he just really got the worst end of the deal there. So there are some ridiculous records for you, Jonathan.
So I want to close with asking you, Warriors 2016, did you watch the 82nd game, like when they, like, or whenever it was, the game that they officially broke the record?
I did watch.
Big deal for you.
I did, yeah. Because I wasn't, you know, we weren't sure, right? It was coming down to the end, and that was one of those things where I was like, we weren't sure, and then it got to the point where we're like, oh, they actually, like, they're gonna do it. They're gonna be better than the Bulls in a record.
Yeah. So when LeBron, you know, whenever he is set to eventually break the all-time scoring record, is that something that you're gonna care about?
No, can I see
That's
it coming?
Wild to me. That is wild.
But
me.
Dude, it
I
doesn't
don't understand.
Well, okay. Will it be one of those things where, in an argument, maybe you could
that
say
is the, to me, that's the ultimate unbreakable record. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous just, because it speaks to the longevity of LeBron.
Yeah, like we
and
can
I
talk
think,
about the volume with these guys shooting threes, but you still have to average 25 points for 20 plus years to break that record. Like, I just that's not going to happen again. I don't think.
Yeah, and who knows, right? And that is the cool thing about those records. But at the same time, I just in terms of like, will I probably watch it? Sure, yes, because like Steph, you know, in terms of how it was a cool moment at MSG for him, I will watch it. It doesn't change anything for me about LeBron. LeBron's been my GOAT for years and years, it'll be cool for LeBron. And it's cool that he will then hold that record. But at the same time, I see it coming, and I it's just one of those things. That's just kind of my stance on those types of records.
That record has been set in stone 4 years longer than I've been on this earth.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
It's 32 years now since Kareem left the NBA, and that record has just been sitting since. So we can agree to disagree. I would love to hear your guys's opinions on this in the comments below. Let us know, do you care about records like this, do you not care, and let us know why. So we're going to go ahead take a quick break here from our friends at Manscaped, and then we'll talk some NBA COVID news. Hey fellas, this episode of The Six Man Show is brought to you by our favorite producers of ball trimmers, Manscaped. The global leaders in below-the-waist grooming are leaving 2021 with new product. Clean yourself into the new year with their ultra-premium body wash. Also, special offer alert, use the code 6TH, that's S-I-X-T-H, for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. 4 million men already trust Manscaped. Time to join them.
Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It's even waterproof. Let's talk about being clean, feeling, and smelling good. The new ultra premium body wash from Manscaped solves all three for the perfect addition to your daily grooming routine, but in the shower. I shower every day and hope you do too. This body wash is infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized. With Manscaped, you'll be a brand new man and ready to kick all the gross hair and smells out with 2021.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code 6TH at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code 6TH, S-I-X-T-H. Happy New Year to your balls. Okay, Luke, so the last couple of weeks in the NBA, starting to get a little bit crazy in terms of the positive COVID tests. Basically today, I think it was the management group that owns the, the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto where the Raptors play. They basically said that they are going to, for the Leafs, the Senators, the Raptors, a few of the Canadian teams, the capacity is going to be halved at those games, just because, you know, it seems like across, you know, the country and, you know, in Canada and obviously across the NBA globe here, there's been a recent increase in COVID tests. So this is from Baxter Holmes with ESPN. As of Wednesday morning, rather, a total of 60 players have entered the health and safety protocols this season, including 43 in the past 2 weeks. 13 players entered protocols on Tuesday, which was by far the highest of any day this season. The previous single day high was 4, which has happened 4 times all within the past 2 weeks. Chicago Bulls, Charlotte Hornets, Brooklyn Nets have all been hit with outbreaks. And Tuesday, Giannis Antetokounmpo entered the NBA health and safety protocol. So something that really, I think, was brought to most people's attention, Luke, today. And yeah. I think we should have been a little bit more aware of this. I remember it being mentioned at the beginning of the season that vaccinated players would not be tested as frequently as unvaccinated players. But it's come out that, basically the last couple of weeks after Thanksgiving, they have started to ramp up testing. And now they are finding that there's more guys that, you know, have COVID. So the good news is largely, like, almost all of these guys that are getting tested positive are all asymptomatic, which is great. Like, the first thing, the most important thing is going to be that these guys are, still feeling well and, you know, not in any, incredible amount of danger. But, Luke, what it kind of alludes to is that we've had guys playing COVID positive for probably the entire season. And yeah, we knew at the beginning of the season, we're not here to argue, you know, vaccines and whatnot, but we knew at the beginning of the season that it was, the information was out there that even if you were vaccinated, you could still contract and spread COVID. So I don't know why the NBA is, like, really all that surprised about what's going on. What is your take on this?
Yeah, I think that it messes, like, the way that they have gone about it, and all of a sudden they change their tune about testing is kind of ridiculous, because you've had the Bulls, who you let them play, you know, with their outbreak essentially until just recently, where they postponed and rescheduled a couple of the games here coming up. Like, they're just now doing this, and it's like, we had a full month where, like, now you're just messing with, like teams' records. Like, this is something that, like, let's say the Bulls, they took a hit on some of their record. I mean, they lost some games because they were short and all that kind of stuff. It's like, what about a month ago when, you know, who knows who, what team had an outbreak and we didn't have a clue? It's just like, I don't really care, honestly, how they go about it. It's a pandemic, in the United States, it's, you know, there's been over 800,000 deaths. Like, handle it how you want, because it is a serious thing and it's a pandemic. And, when all is said and done, it has taken a lot of lives, but handle it consistently. Like, say you're going to be stringent on testing from the beginning, and understand, like, new strands have come out and they're saying, like, this new one's asymptomatic and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, test that way from the beginning. Like, don't, like, all of a sudden change the way you do things. And it's like, I just wish you guys would have done this starting at the beginning of the season instead of just, like, right, like, after Thanksgiving. And now teams were, you know, now that they're, hopefully they figure out how to handle this. But it's just like, you know, they were all, so players were just running around positive COVID. And it's like, I don't understand, like, at what point, I don't know, man. It's just, it's very bizarre.
I think it's really apparent, and I think it's kind of hard to argue against the likelihood that we've had COVID positive players playing in games for the entire season. They haven't been testing. There's no way to prove that. They wouldn't have a player test positive and then say, hey, you're fine, go out there.
Right.
But I think just all the evidence points to the fact that we've had guys playing in games that are COVID positive. Regardless of what you think about Jonathan Isaac and his, you know, vaccination status, one of the things that he mentioned during his media day availability was things should just be consistent. You just alluded to that fact. Guys can play on the court together. They can sit next to each other on the bench, but they can't sit next to each other on the bus. They can't eat in the same room. if you're not vaccinated, you can't be in team meetings, like at the hotel before a game. But again, you can sit right next to them on the bench during the game. Like, my thing is, be consistent, make it make sense. You know, I think we're in a different time than we were almost 2 years ago, where, you know, nobody knew what was going on with this thing. It was just so much was unknown. The league, like, completely shut down. People are talking about, you know, another bubble and shutting down again. Right now, so far, only the Toronto Raptors of the NBA teams has even decided they're going to lower the capacity of fans at these games. I just don't see another scenario where the league says, okay, we're going to go ahead and shut down again. We're going to go back to a bubble. I don't see a way that the NBPA agrees to that. I think it's pretty like universal that all the players hated the bubble. They were glad that they were able to finish the season. But, you know, if you ask LeBron James, he has PTSD whenever he hears the word Orlando now. So, which, I mean, might explain the outburst that we saw from him in the third quarter the other night, although that was in L.A. But, yeah, I mean, to me, it's just, I think, and, you know, it may be unfortunate, but not everybody is going to get the vaccine. Like, that is so evident now. Whether you want to argue that everyone getting the vaccine will take care of all of this, I don't know enough to speak one way or the other to that. But I am now in the belief that moving forward, COVID is something that we are going to have to learn to deal with. And especially if this Omicron variant, with, from what I have read so far, is that a lot of those cases have been either asymptomatic or have been very mild. I think the league can go about this one or two ways. They either totally care about, like, not spreading COVID, and they're going to shut down teams, they're going to shut down the league again or whatever. Or at some point, because I'm in the belief that COVID isn't going anywhere, eventually we're going to get to the point where if guys are asymptomatic or they feel well enough to play, we will see. This is probably going to be an unpopular opinion, but I believe that at some point, and you don't have to speak to this if you don't want to, but I'm in the belief that at some point we're going to see guys playing with COVID if they're healthy and asymptomatic. It's just
they did the last month.
Yeah, they did the last month. Mm-hmm. Luckily, you know, these guys are healthy. All of the data, you're healthy, you're young, you're in shape. All that is working in your benefit if you do contract COVID.
Yeah.
And if you are looking to make the argument that these young guys can be healthy, and I mean, there's never going to be data, because they're not, right now at least, they're not going to let healthy guys go out there. But you and I are in agreement that all of the evidence points to the fact that more than likely, I would say I'm almost positive, no pun intended, but guys have been playing with COVID this season. It's just, I don't know how you would argue against that.
Yeah, and full disclosure, I've said it before, but I know that there's always new people listening. Speaking for myself, I am someone who is vaccinated. I am going to get the booster most likely. I am someone who is on the side of the vaccine 100%. But yeah, that is the bottom line. The last thing I really will even touch on with this, and I, as we've been saying, the common thread here is just be consistent. Like, the NBA needs to just stick to what they like, stick to logic. I mean, logic is, I know it's, you know, hard for some people to use, but I mean, this is something that is just easy. And J.I., despite our differences on the vaccine beliefs, J.I., you know, laid it out perfectly in terms of what's logical and what's not. And it stinks, man. It's something that's going to be, like you said, a part of, you know, this country, this world, probably for the rest of existence. And I hope that as science improves and as things get better, you know, that you know, we'll be able to, you know, finally be able to have some more normalcy. Thankfully, we've made a lot of strides because we found out more and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, man, it is it stinks, to be quite honest.
Well, unfortunately, like, too many folks nowadays, their logic is directly correlated with, like, the political camp that they align with. And I'm right there with you. Like, make it make sense, you know.
Yeah.
In my opinion, this is where the NBA is going to lay down, like, where they, like, do they really care about COVID, or do they care more about their public perception and continuing to make money? Because if they really care about COVID, why do we have 18,000 people in attendance at these games when we know that whether you're vaccinated or not, you are still able to spread the disease? So if the NBA truly cares about COVID and you know, they're trying to keep people as safe as they say they are, then maybe we are going for another shutdown. But just given the evidence that we have now, I don't see that happening. Yeah, I mean, I hope everyone is going to, you know, continue to be healthy and everything like that. But yeah, NBA, make it make sense, guys, because what you're doing now, it doesn't make a ton of sense. So, Luke, I think that is going to do it for us this week. Do we have anything else? I need to do a quick Patreon shout out before we head out here.
No, that's it. Let's go ahead and do it.
All right. I want to shout out our patrons really quick. If you guys are unaware, we do have a Patreon channel. Three different tiers that you can subscribe to help financially support the show. So shout out to Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Keith Garcia, Zico, Carson Tulo, Nathan Lynn, Ellis, Norm L, Magic Player History, and Giulio. We really, really appreciate you guys. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to Shoot the Shot, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya.